Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, and welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. It's a delight to have you with us today. We're happy to welcome back Dr. Phyllis Hefner. She is an excellent, highly regarded child psychiatrist as our guest again. She has been here with us before. It was an amazing broadcast, and we've invited her back again. She is a highly accomplished psychiatrist and CEO of a practice known as Holistic Child Psychiatry, which is headquartered now in Columbia, Maryland, between Washington and Baltimore. And she specializes in holistic and integrative strategies to treat both mental and physical health conditions in adults as well as children, of course. And Dr. Hefner recognizes the importance of evaluating the function of the brain, the body, and behavior, along with the psychological, social, and spiritual factors for each person. It's critical in order to epitomize what true health really is all about. She has an amazing website. If you want to learn more about her, you can certainly go there and follow along with us. Her website is holisticchildpsychiatry.com. And there's a lot of information there about what she does, how she treats patients, and about her background, obviously, of course. It's very interesting. I'm going to bring her on the microphone with us right now. Dr. Hefner, let me get your microphone on so we can hear you. It's a delight to have you back with us today. You know, it's interesting looking at your website. Your website, as it points out, welcome to holistic child psychiatry beyond conventional psychiatry. Do me a favor, define what you mean by that, beyond conventional psychiatry. How would you answer that?
Conventional psychiatry looks at symptoms, and they treat symptoms generally with medication, occasionally with therapy. I look further. I look at what could be causing the symptoms. So it could be trauma in the past, or it could be some kind of thing going on now, but it could also be a medical condition or another kind of situation that is setting off these symptoms. And using medication alone is not the solution in those kind of cases. In fact, what I find is many people need to look really deeply to find out what is happening with and causing their symptoms.
I understand. I understand that. Well, let me ask you to establish the typical age of the patients that you treat. What would that include? How would you answer that?
Oh, I treat people. I've had people as young as one.
Wow.
Most of them are more like 3 to early 20s, but I certainly deal with people of all ages up into their 90s even.
You know, you're mentioning that age young as one. What would prompt a patient to bring, you know, their child to see a psychiatrist at the age of one? What kind of symptoms would the child be, you know, expressing?
It could be many different things. Sometimes the infant is more physical kind of issues, because I do treat physical problems as well as psychiatric. Sleep problems, digestive issues, autism symptoms, things like that. But then I also have had children in because of, you know, a lot of crying or a lot of anxiety kind of symptoms that can be seen even as young as 1 and 2.
Well, that certainly is interesting. Most people would not think you would need to take a child to see a psychiatrist, you know, at that age. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about some of the mental issues that you treat. And I know there are a wide number of things. You just mentioned me a little while ago, some of the things that you're treating right now include the issue of mold. Where would that come into play? How about that?
Mold is ubiquitous. It's all over everywhere in our world, and most of it doesn't hurt us. But there are some molds that make toxins that are called mycotoxins, and those can affect every area of the body, including the brain, So it can cause physical symptoms like fatigue or what we call brain fog or memory issues or concentration, but it can also cause anxiety and depression and other types of mental health symptoms. It can affect the immune system. It can affect the hormones. It can affect the liver and the kidney and all kinds of other areas of the body. And so to me, it's a very critical thing, because if someone is exposed to that, and it's usually in water-damaged buildings, you know, they're not going to get better unless it's treated and gotten out of their body.
And what are the kind of symptoms that you know, signify mold is the cause of it?
It could be any symptoms in the body, which is why you can't just go by symptoms. You have to look and see, are the mycotoxins there? But many people will have severe fatigue with it, or, you know, anxiety or depression that medication does not help with, or, you know, many other kind of symptoms. I've been exposed to mold, and so I know about the fatigue issues. That was my worst symptom completely.
Fatigue, really ultra tired.
Severe fatigue to the point where you could be talking with someone and fall asleep. Or you could be driving and fall asleep.
That's not good.
And you have no control over it.
No, that's not good. Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the way you focus on holistic and integrative strategies in your practice. What does that mean? What does that indicate?
Okay. Well, holistic and integrative strategies mean looking at ways of treating people that are potentially including medication, but certainly not, you know, focusing just on medicine. So I will use strategies such as, you know, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, food that people are eating. I will look at detoxification strategies, which I do definitely for mold, but for other reasons too. That can be sauna. That can be using, you know, something called binders, things like that, to get rid of toxins that are causing problems. I use something called an ionic foot bath to help with detoxification as well. There's neurofeedback, which is a training method to help the brain waves that are associated with people's mental health symptoms to get more normalized so that the symptoms get less and they don't have the problem. And sometimes it can actually get rid of the problem altogether. There are many other strategies that I employ in my practice, basically to try to help heal them rather than just put a Band-Aid over with medication.
Yeah. You mentioned neurofeedback. What does that involve? What is it?
It involves a combination of initially doing something called a quantitative EEG, where I'm getting a reading of the brain waves and putting it through my computer software to figure out what is going on in the brain and what kind of treatment modality needs to be done for neurofeedback. After that protocol is developed, the person will sit in front of a computer, and as their brain gets closer to the way that we want the brain waves to be, so that those are more normalized, the computer screen will move and make a noise telling them, this is what we want you to do. And the more they are repeating that process, the more their brain learns how to have their brain waves move.
That's pretty interesting. You recognize what's going on with the brain waves? I guess you're looking at a screen while that's taking place. Is that right?
I'm looking at a screen, and it records the brain waves. And then I run those brainwave patterns through software that then can help determine where there are the abnormalities.
You know, mentioning that, it just occurred to me that there must have been tremendous improvements in the technology and the science of psychiatry that you practice now compared to what it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Am I right about that? There have been huge advances,
very much,
right?
So. And in fact, most psychiatry still is pretty similar to where things were not even 10 or 15 years ago, but, you know, 100 years ago, because they don't tend to look at the brain itself. They look at symptoms and treat the symptoms with medicine, where the techniques we have now, we can look at how the brain functions in the way of the neurofeedback and the quantitative EEG. We can use something called frequency-specific microcurrent, which uses electrical frequencies to make changes in the brain and the body. We can do so many different things and really know much more about some of the underlying medical causes as well as psychological causes for people's mental health symptoms.
And do you feel like you're much more able to treat those symptoms today than you could years ago?
Depending on what is going on with the person. Each person is different. So two people can come in with same symptoms and it be from totally different things.
So it really
just depends.
Working with children compared with adults and the problems the children have, you know, compared with what adults are suffering from, are children easier to treat? What do you think?
Potentially. They have more resiliency because they haven't been around as long, haven't had as much experiences, both physically as well as emotionally. But they aren't always as interested in treatment. They don't always understand. And therefore, sometimes compliance can be a little more challenging.
And what are
but
the
they're
most
not here
common...
because they want to be.
Well, no, that's I understand that for sure. What would you say are the most common problems that you work with children on, the things that they're suffering from the most or could be?
I deal with a lot of children that have a lot of anxiety. I have a lot of children with a lot of depression, and even young children can have suicidal thoughts and behaviors. I deal with a lot of children with autism, with attention deficit. So those are some of the common childhood psychiatric disorders. But I also deal with children that have something called PANS or PANDAS. Another term for that is basal ganglia encephalitis, which is a condition in which after someone has been exposed to some type of infection or toxin, their immune system attacks their brain, and it causes all kinds of what look like psychiatric symptoms but are really because of this autoimmune attack. And I have a lot of patients with that kind of condition.
You mentioned depression. You know, depression is something that affects adults. We hear more about that all the time. I'm not used to hearing about that with children. How young do you discover children who are suffering from depression? And how do you treat it in a child?
I have seen children that are depressed as young as age 4 and 5. And some of it is because of their home life and their experiences, but not always. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually seen a child at age 6 with bipolar disorder that was very classical bipolar disorder. So age is not as much of an issue as, what is going on with that person. Treating it varies according to what's happening with the person. If it has to do with experiences that they've had, either traumatic experiences or family issues, dealing with those are specifically important. If it has to do with some kind of infection, treating the infection. If it has to do with mold, treating the mold. If it has to do with other type of things, it may be other kind of medication, including potentially psychiatric medicine, although that is not the first line I go to.
Talk to me for a moment about mold. How does mold, I'm assuming you're talking about mold that you see around maybe a water basin and the water hasn't, dried properly, mold has started to grow. Does someone have to actually touch mold to get in contact with it for it to affect you or not?
Oh, no, not at all. Mold releases these mycotoxins, which are toxins that affect all areas of our body. And it gets into the air. And so we breathe it in.
It can also
get it onto food, and so we can ingest it. And some foods actually have the mold already in them, and we don't know it. So grains, for instance, can have a lot of mold. Cheeses, processed aged meats, even peanuts carry a mold, toxin called aflatoxin. So we can get it both breathing and also eating.
I wasn't thinking about moldy bread, but of course you can eat it there. But that affects you. That's very, very interesting. And on the subject of mold again, how long does it take to help cure someone who's suffering from, you know, from mold issues?
You'll hear me say this a lot. It depends on the person.
Right.
Some people have a very good detoxification system, and they can, you know, get it cleared within sometimes 4 to 6 months. Other people, it can take many years. But they have to be out of the situation where they're exposed
right.
to mold.
Right. That's depressing. Many years. That's not good.
I know. I've been experiencing it for many years myself, so I know what it's like.
Goodness. Let me ask you a quick question. What do you think distinguishes you from other holistic psychiatrists in your field? How would you answer that?
It depends, because holistic psychiatry is not one thing. I try to look at all the possibilities. I do a lot of testing. You know, I really look at the whole picture of the person, both physical and emotional, as well as, you know, what might be going on in their life, and try to treat things based on both what I know, but also giving people a lot of input and control as to which way to treat things. Themselves. They have to feel comfortable with it, and we work together as a team. Certainly, there are a lot of people that focus predominantly on just psychiatry. I focus on kind of the interface between psychiatry and medicine.
And do you prescribe medications for treatment?
It depends on what kind of thing is going on, but I certainly
okay.
have, you know, many patients that I prescribe right. medications. They can range from antibiotics to hormones to issues with psychiatric medications and others as well.
I know one of the things you specialize in nutrition and lifestyle treatments. Talk a little bit about
yes.
that aspect of your practice.
Well, lifestyle and nutrition are actually the underlying basis of how healthy our body and brain can be. So I really talk a lot with people about both what they eat, trying to get them to eat as nutritiously as possible, which is sometimes the hardest thing that I have to do, getting people to change their diet and get rid of as much as possible the processed foods and trying to get much more in the way of fresh vegetables and fruit especially, but also healthy, you know, proteins and fats. But then also looking at sleep. You know, if someone doesn't get enough sleep, their brain cannot work well and their body does not heal. Working on, you know, getting enough movement and exercise. All those things help our body, and there's been studies showing that exercise improves brain function. It improves depression. It makes a huge difference. So, and what I see with people when they are able to do that, many times we don't need to do as much in the way of other type of treatments. That those things, for some people, are enough.
That's interesting. Very interesting. So diet is critically important. And you mentioned sleep. I hear that
yes.
all the time. And most people, on average, don't get enough sleep. What is enough sleep? What do you tell your patients?
I would like adults to get a minimum of 7 hours of sleep. You know, certainly
yeah.
some people need more than that. I would like, you know, children, you know, depending on the age, you know, mm-hmm. most elementary school children need at least 10 to 12 hours of sleep. Teenagers usually more like 8 to 10 hours, and getting that amount of sleep, and the timing of the sleep is important too. You know, people's bodies generally do better if we can get them into a regular rhythm where they're going to bed, you know, at a time that's before midnight.
Yeah.
And a lot of the teenagers
yeah.
don't want to. And then, yeah, it does make a difference in how well the body works and how the brain works.
Well, obviously there is something to it, because we certainly do hear enough about make sure you get enough sleep. You know, it seemed to me we hear so much about autism today. So many people are suffering from it, especially children, teenagers. How do you treat autism, and what's your feeling about it? Do you see a lot more patients, you know, suffering from autistic issues today than before?
There are definitely more people with autism now than there were even when I started my training.
Yeah.
It has gotten to be an epidemic. It is something that I really believe is due to the toxicity of our world, and that has to do with both what the child themselves have been exposed to, but also what their parents and their parents' parents have been exposed to. We can't cure autism, but we can often help some of the underlying, what are called biomedical conditions that play a role with autism. So children with autism often have problems with their digestive system, or they have toxins that have overwhelmed their body, or they have problems with their metabolism or their neurological system. And so the big things we do is we work on diet, of course, trying to get them to eat as healthy a diet as possible, and often trying to get them to at a minimum of a gluten and dairy-free diet, because they don't do well for the most part with those foods. Then, you know, try to deal with all the other physical conditions, because this is really, in my opinion, a neurological condition, not a psychiatric mental health condition.
Right, right. How can you determine whether someone is allergic to, I guess, gluten, it would be the way to put it, whether they should not, you know, consume gluten in their diet? How can you determine that?
There are several different ways. One of the most effective ways is something called an elimination diet, where we take gluten out of their diet for a minimum of a month and then reintroduce it and see if there's any differences. However, there are also tests that can be done to look at antibodies against gluten. People with a condition called celiac disease have a true allergy to gluten, and it is very dangerous for them to eat it. But they don't always know it, because it's not always giving the symptoms of digestive system problems, but can cause brain issues or can cause skin, you know, issues. But there's also other ways of, there's non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and then there's, you know, gluten or wheat allergies that are different. So there's different ways of doing it, and testing as well as that elimination diet can be extremely helpful in figuring it out.
Well, that's good to know. You know, you have a long list of things, you know, issues that you treat in your practice. One of them is, I'm not familiar with the name, undamned treatments. Am I pronouncing it right? Undamned treatments? What would that be about?
I'm trying to even understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Undamned. On. O-N-D-A-M-E-D. Undamned treatments. I'm not sure what that is. I'm reading your
I'm
website.
Not really sure what that is. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a German term meaning wave medicine. That's what it is.
Oh, on-demand. Okay.
On-demand. Okay.
On-demand. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. I just couldn't understand the pronunciation. Sorry.
That's
good. On-demand is a German-developed machine that uses pulse electromagnetic frequencies. And those magnetic frequencies will help change all kinds of areas in the body. It can help treat infections. It can help treat mental health issues. It can help treat physical conditions. And it can be extremely powerful.
It says it's widely used in Europe and just beginning to get more widely used here in the United States. And the treatments last 1 to 1.5 hours. Yeah, that's very interesting.
It can be used, you know, it's not used as much here in America yet, but it is known. And certainly in Germany, they know a lot more about it.
Well, I'm sure. You know, do me a favor. Give me I like one of your success stories. Evercamp, you know, we always ask Dr. Tibber now and then if they could give a success story of someone who came to see them and, you know, the patient was having serious problems, but after your treatment with them for a while, you know, things got much better and, you know, it helped change their lives. Do you have any success story on top of your mind that you could share with us today? How about that?
I can't give you
a specific name
or anything like that because of HIPAA compliance.
Exactly. Sure.
But
that's
I can kind of give you a summary of what I often see.
Right.
So a child, and they can be, you know, anywhere from a elementary school child or even sometimes a preschooler through an adolescent, come in with symptoms of severe anxiety, obsessive-compulsive symptoms that started very suddenly, problems with being resistant to eating much anymore, to getting very sensitive to noise and to light and to touch, having problems with managing their emotions, anger outbursts, things like that, and can even start developing tics. This is a condition called PANS or PANDAS. And I see a lot of children with this, as well as some adults. Once we figure out that that's what it is and start working on reducing the inflammation in the brain, helping modulate the immune system, and then treating whatever is setting it off. For some kids, it's strep. For some kids, it's mold and mycotoxins. For some kids, it's Lyme disease. For some kids, it's other infections. Treating those, we start seeing the child get back to their baseline. You know, they sometimes will still have what we call a flare, where if they get sick, they might start having these symptoms again. But if we can catch it early and put them onto something like Prophen or Naproxen, which are, you know, over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, sometimes that alone is enough to kind of calm things down. And I often will hear parents say, you know, this is so much better than when we first started seeing you. They're back to their baseline. They're back to school because some of these children cannot go to school. They're just so anxious or so out of control. And they can get back to school. They can get back to being with their, you know, friends. They can go back to doing their activities. I had one little girl that, you know, was an excellent gymnast and could not do it because of the obsessions, and she's back to doing her gymnastics and you know, not having the anxiety.
But see, that's so important when you can diagnose something like that and help someone. You really do change their lives. I mean, it's a fact of life. Don't you realize that, right?
Oh, yes. You know, some of these people, you know, are just not able to function at all, you know, when they come in to see me.
Well, I think it's great that you can do that. Listen, it's just been great talking to you, Dr. Hefner. We've been talking to you, Dr. Phyllis Hefner. Her office is headquartered in Columbia, Maryland. She has a great website. I'm going to give you the website again. It's holisticchildpsychiatry.com. And I'm sorry I pronounced that wrong, Dr. Hefner.
Not a problem.
On the bed,
it's a German
right?
name.
On debit.
And it's not necessarily something we know here in the U.S. very much.
I see what you're talking about. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you can do this again, Dr. Hefner. Take care of yourself, and thank you so much for your time today.
You're
all
welcome.
Righty? We appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Thank you so much. And that'll do it for this edition of Close-Up Talk Radio, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something, because Dr. Hefner is very, very smart in this field. Go to that website if you have any questions. Again, it's holisticchildpsychiatry.com. All right, take care, everybody. See you next time.
You have been
Bye.
Listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.